As we were sitting in the office and planning Mother's Day Sunday, we were sitting and decided it would be a good idea to ask the pastor's wives to share each a little bit of time this Sunday. And we were all excited about it. When we asked our wives if they would do that, they weren't quite as excited as we were in the planning stages. But they decided to step out and to step up. And even though it's a little bit out of their comfort zone, we're going to have Pastor David's wife Nella share and Pastor Larry and his wife Deidre. Now, they are in New Brunswick, and so we're going to hear Deidre by way of video that she recorded yesterday. Got here, they were telling me about 11 o'clock last night. We got the video. And so Deidre's going to share by video. And then Kay is going to come, and she's going to share. And one of the things that we were able to get them to share a little bit said, talk about your mums if you want. And that put a smile on their face because each one of them have a great mother. And so we're going to start with Nella. Would you welcome Nella as she comes and shares this morning?
Hi, guys. This is way out of my comfort zone. I was here last night trying to practice, and I was like antsy on the stage, jumping, but anyways, here we go. So as I wrote this out, I realized it's more of how I honestly have failed as a mother and how God has really lifted me up and brought me back up and said, okay, let's do this again. So back about 9 years ago, I felt like there was something missing in our life. So I started to deeply desire to become a mom and David a dad. We started to pray about this desire of our hearts for God to fulfill them. A couple months later, I was pregnant, and this was so amazing to us. We couldn't keep it a secret. So we had called our family and friends, and we had to share with them right away. So they were so happy for this new chapter of our lives, and as I look back now, one person was happy, but also was just a little bit worried. Now, I'm not sure if that was because as moms we worry at new chapters in our kids' life, or we just need that extra okay from the Lord that he's got this, or altogether that my mom was going to be a young grandma. I'm not sure. So throughout my pregnancy, I would pray and pray and pray for Luca, that he would be such a warrior to build God's kingdom. And also, if it was God's will, an NBA All-Star. The kid has skills, but only if it was his will. Luca arrived July 10th, and it was a newfound love, something I never knew existed, something so beautiful. All of you moms and dads know exactly what I'm talking about. So I would stare at him in amazement all day. So November 7th marks a very special day in Luca's life. This is when we had dedicated him to the Lord. Just as reassurance for us that God had Luca's life fully. This child was his. He was perfect. He was advanced. He spoke by one. He could count. He was potty trained. Yes, potty trained by one. That credit goes to Grandma. He was growing up way too fast. So we went to praying again that God would bless us with another child, preferably a girl. So I got pregnant again with our second child, and as you all know, we have a boy, and he's awesome. So when I found out that it was a boy again, I went and I told my parents and I told my dad, I'm like, Dad, guess what? We're having another boy. And he's like, oh no, I don't believe this till I don't see it. So anyways, we laugh about this now, but they're truly a blessing. Both of them are so unique to us and they're a blessing. Going back to Nico, he was very different baby than Luca. He was more needy of us. Woke us up a lot throughout the night. He took 2.5 years to be potty trained. So we had experienced a different baby from our first, but we fell more and more in love with this child. April 14th marks another special day in Nico's life. I want to show you a pic of this event. As a mom, you want these moments to be so beautiful, so smooth, so we plan for perfection. They don't turn out that way. So if they can zoom in, you'll see what I'm talking about. This is the longest drool that I've ever seen or Pastor Ken has ever experienced. But anyhow, now we laugh about this. It was pretty gross. Our boys are best friends. They love each other and are perfect brothers. Moving forward, it took us a bit to recover to be having our perfect little family of three kids. To be honest, it took us a while to recover. This time around, it took me 7 months to become pregnant. And during this process, I questioned God, why? Why are you not blessing me with a child? You know the desires of my heart. God bless us with a baby girl. God bless us. God give us what we want. This was my demands. They were no longer prayers. Every time I would not be pregnant, I would ask God why. My heart sunk deeper and deeper. But he had to teach me something through it. Then I finally started to turn to him in humility and ask him just to bless us once again. So one day I'm cleaning my house and I hear God speak to me and he says, if I bless you, you must be grateful with a boy or a girl. This was hard for me to hear because I realized how selfish I had been and how demanding of a blessing that was meant for a blessing that I saw as some hurt. Sometimes God wants to bless us, but we don't get still to hear him speak, and he needs to settle us down so that we can hear and recognize that certain things are a blessing from him. I needed to learn to be grateful once again, so I prayed for forgiveness of being so selfish and demanding and almost missing out on a blessing he had for me, for us. Next month, I was pregnant. And honestly, it was so quick since it already, like, we waited 7 months, and all of a sudden, I'm pregnant. As you all heard my husband share, we're having our third boy. A blessing, right? Any child is a blessing, really. It's our responsibility to raise them up right. To be honest with you, when I found out, I couldn't speak. I couldn't stop crying. I felt like I had done something wrong, that God wouldn't give us a little girl. I started having these questions that were hard. Maybe I couldn't handle a girl. Maybe I would be a horrible mom to this girl. But God, and I would ask him, why? Why? As I look back now, I gave the devil room to toy with my mind and my emotions and almost steal the joys of a blessing. We as mom and people, we have certain expectations that if God doesn't meet or go by our wants, we get devastated. And we give the devil room to steal the joy of our blessing. I did this the moment I found out I was having a third boy. It took me a day to recover from my so-called hurts. We don't know why we are blessed to be raising up boys, but we know that God has the best in store for us. His ways are better than our ways. Amen? As our boys grow up, I realize more and more how important to reflect Jesus to our children is. As life gets hard and busy, we can lose our purpose as being love, grace, and forgiveness to our children when they need it most. I also realize that when my heart is aligned with the source of who God is, I project this around me into my children. They see Jesus through us. The times I failed as a mother is when I didn't align my heart to my Heavenly Father's, and I was stubborn and unteachable. There are times in my life when I said, I will never forgive such and such, but guess what? God healed me of that pain because I gave it to him, and he healed unforgiveness in me. When my prayers had become, God, let my heart reflect yours, align my heart to yours, he did such that. You go through some hard circumstances that only God can heal and come through and change our hearts. So for me as a mom, I can only succeed when my life, my will, my ways are aligned to my Heavenly Father's. Lastly, I just want to pray over your kids, and this is the prayer I pray for my boys a lot. So Lord God, thank you for these women, these moms. You have blessed us or will bless us with perfect gifts. Let us raise up mighty warriors for your kingdom. Let us raise up world changers, strong men and women of God who love you with everything they have. Let us raise up legends for your kingdom. I pray that the church doesn't become a religion to them, but for them to constantly have a real relationship with you, for them to really experience who God is at a young age, for them to know you on a personal level, not just through us as parents, for them to be strong in his word, to turn to you daily, to walk with you, to influence people around them, and to never, ever just settle and say, I know you enough, but to be hungry for more, to go deeper and deeper always, to love like you love, to walk in humility and know that you are everything they need to reflect Jesus to this world. Let us be still and know you are God. No matter what our children go through, you got them in the palm of your hand. Help us raise them according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, KWCF family. Greetings from New Brunswick. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers. I am sorry I could not physically be there with you this morning, but thanks to technology, there are alternate means that allow me to share my thoughts on motherhood and experience as a mother with you. Pastor Larry and I have been married for 30 years this year, and we have three amazing children, two boys, 27 and 24, and a 16-year-old daughter. Both boys are married. So I am blessed with two beautiful daughter-in-laws. We are blessed with two grandchildren and one more on the way in August. The Lord has been so good to us in that all of our children and their spouses are actively serving the Lord. Did you know the Word of God does not say that all women will bear children? The Word does say in Psalms 127:3, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Today I would like to encourage all types of mothers. Mothers of biological children, mothers of adoptive children, stepmothers, mother-in-laws, foster mothers, grandmothers. Maybe you are not a mother in any of those aspects, so I would like to encourage mothers that may be over a ministry such as Sunday school, teachers, youth directors, and also school teachers, educational assistants, and coaches. I am including all these types of mothers because you see they oversee children and teenagers of all ages. The Bible gives us instructions on how to raise up children, and I believe these instructions are for all of us. So to all mothers, I would say that motherhood is much more than nurturing and caring for biological children. In the book of Judges, the prophet and judge Deborah is identified as a mother in Israel and to Israel. She provided wisdom, guidance, encouragement. She nurtured and trained. When I thought back to my school years, there was a basketball coach who is still coaching today. She does not have children of her own. However, she teaches, instructs, disciplines a group of children and teens, and these are qualities and responsibilities of a mother. We have special friends back home that for whatever reason could not have children of their own. She's a school teacher, and her heart went out to three brothers who needed a family. They took those boys at the ages of 5, 7, and 9 into their home and adopted them. There was a lot of love, laughter, joy, tears, and heartbreaking moments experienced over the years, but God has blessed them for following their heart and stepping out in faith. They are now grandparents of 5 grandchildren with another one on the way. Those whom the Lord blesses to be mothers should take this responsibility seriously. Scriptures say these things about what mothers should do. Being available, morning, noon, and night, that's in Deuteronomy. Involvement, interact, and discuss in Ephesians. Teaches, scriptures of biblical worldview, Psalms, Deuteronomy, and Ephesians. Training, help develop skills and discover strengths, Proverbs, Romans, and 1 Corinthians. Discipline, fear of the Lord, loving firmly. Don't spare the rod and spoil the child, Ephesians, Hebrews, and Proverbs. Nurture, constant verbal support, acceptance, affection, unconditional love, Titus, Ephesians, 2 Timothy, Galatians, and 1 Peter. Model with integrity, godly living, Deuteronomy, Proverbs, and Psalms. There's so much that the Bible says on raising up children. This reminds me of a time when Joel was giving me a little bit of sass, like teenagers sometimes will. I sat him on the couch, pulled out the Bible, and started reading scripture to him. I believe I read to him from the book of Proverbs on how he should behave, take instructions, treat his parents, be obedient, the list goes on. Motherhood has exciting, joyful, proud, and heartbreaking moments. A mother cares about a child's hurts, fears, dreams, and successes. Motherhood can be discouraging, encouraging, supportive, frustrating, overwhelming, rewarding, and uplifting. It is endless love, gentleness, sleepless nights, laughter, crying, disciplinary, rules, fun, hard work. All this takes commitment and dedication in whatever motherhood role you have been given, and it never goes away, no matter what the age of your child. I've experienced many of these emotional moments over the years. For example, when Hannah got her first basket in a very rough basketball game. She was in grade 3 or 4 and was being guarded by a grade 6. Everyone in the gymnasium cheered. The coach and the rest of the team jumped from the bench, clapping and cheering. It was an exciting moment. When Joel grabbed the ball from his opponent's hand at the end line and ran the entire length of the field to score a try for his team in rugby, no one could catch him. He also received MVP award for the year. Or when he received an All-Star Award in basketball tournament that he gave 110% in. When Matthew played guitar in a public setting for the first time, a solo in a music festival drama production in grade 7 or 8. When he was chosen to represent his university with a summer job in a band to travel all through the U.S. and some of Canada, playing, witnessing, and ministering to young children and youth camps. My list could go on with proud and exciting moments of my children. But you know, we go through trials and tests as well, where we have to sometimes lay everything down for our children. You've heard this story before. When Joel and Hannah were very sick, at that time, one young girl from our youth was killed in a car accident. The very same weekend, both of my children were being admitted in the hospital. Larry was a pallbearer, assisting with the funeral. You see, this wasn't just one of the youth. This young lady was just like part of our family. She spent a lot of time at our house through the week and weekends, as well did other youth. I cannot explain the heartbreak and emotions I was feeling at that time. Everything was so overwhelming. This was one time I had to lay down everything for my children. My full-time paying job had to be put on hold so I could take care of them. Joel was released from the hospital shortly after, where Hannah had to remain to be taken care of. She required 24-hour care. I literally did not sleep. Every 15 minutes, I was picking her up out of bed to carry her and her IV pole to the washroom. It was only through the strength of the Lord that got me through that time, and Larry getting me a bite to eat and a drink, of course. This is where the grandparents and family stepped in. Larry's parents kept our boys for us while we were in the local hospital, and my family took care of our house. At the end of that week, Hannah took a turn for the worse. Even after countless hours of prayer and the Lord telling Larry she was going to be okay, she was airlifted to the IWK in Halifax.
Larry stayed back with the boys, and my mother gave up weeks of her time and job to stay with Hannah and I. Whenever my strength was low, my mother would take over caring for Hannah. That was usually late afternoon or supper time. I truly needed my mother's support at that time in my life. I have the best mother in the whole world, and I love her dearly. Through all this, I give the Lord victory. What he promised came through. Maybe not in our timing, but in his. You see, all things do not look good, but God was always in control. Everything they told us to expect was less than what they had said. For example, she was told a minimum of 4 blood transfusions. She only had 3. Possible dialysis, but she didn't have to go on dialysis. A minimum of 4 weeks stay at the IWK. We were only at that hospital 3 weeks. It was a joyous day when we were given the notice she was good to go home the day before her 4th birthday. That was quite a celebration. This experience required much sacrifice, strength, and energy, but I give all the glory to the Lord and that he is our source. I wish all mothers a very blessed and happy Mother's Day.
Happy birthday. Mother's Day as well from me. You'd think that, you know, after all these years, I'd be used to coming up to speak. I'm fine with singing, just this is way out of my comfort zone. But I couldn't very well refuse when the others that were younger than me were going to do this. So as Ken said, I said, okay, I can certainly talk about my mom. So what I'm going to share today is basically a tribute to my mother, and so you get a little bit better acquainted with her. And because my thoughts get really scattered when I'm trying to just speak, I'm going to read what I wrote down. Lois, Dawn, Lawson, Hooks, and I think I had a few pictures to go up. That was my mom years and years ago. Was born April 27th, 1915, the 4th child, 2nd girl of 7 children. I always thought that gave us a special connection since I, too, was the 4th child and 2nd girl born to her. She was always a hard worker. You would never find her sitting down and letting others wait on her. She would be the one serving them and making sure everyone had what they needed. But she also loved to sit and chat, usually with a cup of coffee, and often in her later years when we'd go and visit, while everyone was still sleeping early in the morning, she would make a cup of coffee and just be sitting there quietly drinking her coffee so that she wouldn't wake up anyone else, especially the grandkids who'd be laying on the couch or on the floor. And that would be about 5:30 in the morning, probably due to her getting up to help prepare breakfast when she was growing up on the farm and then later for her own family. She had to be at work at 7:00. In the factory, but always made breakfast and her homemade biscuits every morning. No one made better biscuits than my mama. They were always light and fluffy. None of us girls ever learned to make them quite like she did because she had no recipe and made them by the feel of the texture with her hands. She always seemed to be able to stretch the food to feed our family of 8, and there were 9 of the few years that my grandmother lived with us before she died. There was always a big garden every year, and she would can food for the winter. There was a running tab at the grocery store that she would make payments on every week, and when it was paid off, she would bring home a package of chewing gum, which was a treat for all of us kids. I don't remember ever eating out in a restaurant. If we drove somewhere, she would make sandwiches. We'd find a picnic table along the way and eat lunch, or she would cook hamburgers in her iron skillet on a fire by the creek when we'd go on a family outing. Mama taught us to, quote, make do or do without, which prepared me well for our own family of four young kids when we very little money. I remember Mama singing around the house or whistling while she worked, something I often find myself doing. When my younger sisters and I started singing together as a trio, we would often sing together as we did the dishes. I don't remember her saying anything unkind or complaining about anything, even when times were hard. She was a woman of faith. Once, when I was in my teens, she was brought home in the middle of the day from the factory where she was working. She was so weak and sick, they had to carry her into the house and to the bed. Instead of calling the doctor, she had us call our pastor, who came over and prayed for her. She was healed and got out of bed, and within a short while went back to work that afternoon. The people there were so amazed to see her back, since they'd all seen how sick she was, and she told them all that God had healed her. Years later, when she was seeing the doctor after having a fainting spell, the doctor, after viewing some test results, asked her when she had had her heart attack. And surprised, my mother said she'd never had a heart attack. But the test showed that there had been one, and I believe that day that she was so sick probably was a heart attack, and that God healed her from that. Since she was around 50 at that time, God gave her another 30 years. She taught me to give to the Lord. When I first began to babysit as a young teen and made $2 a day, 20 cents would go into the offering plate at church as my tithes. She was always so happy and excited when her children and grandchildren came home for a visit. The house would be full with people sleeping on the couches, pallets on the floor, and not just family when we would come and visit sometimes and bring friends with us. She always made them feel welcome. She taught us that no matter how little you have, you can always share cheerfully. A few weeks ago, when I started to prepare for this, I sent an email to my siblings and asked them to share some memories of Mama. I knew that my oldest sister, Joyce, several years ago, right after my mom had passed away, had written a tribute to her, so I asked if I could get a copy of that. So I'm going to just share some of the things that they said about her. This is from Joyce, and she titles it Mama, a Tribute, in memory of Lois Dawn Lawson Hooks, April 27, 1915 to September 27, 1996. She married late. She would have been called a spinster in 1942, just 3 years shy of 30. She actually was 26 and would be 27 in the next month. Even so, she always said she wanted to marry and have, quote, a dozen boys. Well, Mama didn't have a dozen boys. She had two, but she did have half a dozen children. From the beginning, we all knew we and our daddy were stars in our mama's eyes. I have memories of, and she lists these, popcorn in a big aluminum pan in front of a roaring fire, chocolate gravy on mama's biscuits, noisy buttons on the washboard, and she's, in parentheses, she says, Mama used to tell a story about when I was four and she was using the washboard, and I said, Mama, hear those buttons hollering? Hot water bottle at our feet on a cold winter night, and as I got older, ginger tea for the cramps. Crocheted house shoes, which I learned to make from her. Embroidered flowers on a dish towel. She would make them look pretty, and so much more. And then she says, Mama taught us joy in simple things. She would peel apples and make pies, applesauce, apple snow. Then she would use the peels to make jelly. She would scrape the paper when she unwrapped the sticks of butter, rarely, or margarine, mostly. She poured up every morsel from the cooking pot, carefully scraping the bottom of the pan. There was no waste. Mama taught us thriftiness. I remember talking to Mama when she ironed clothes, telling her about things, asking her about things. She had the ability to see things through my eyes. Mama taught us to be good listeners. Sometimes I would complain or talk about someone in unkind terms. Mama would ask me to put myself in the other person's shoes and understand their position. This often would result in a whole new feeling about what had happened. Mama taught us not to be judgmental. Mama went to work at a factory when Daddy got sick with pneumonia and her youngest was still a toddler. She couldn't drive, so she walked across a foot log to catch a ride into town. Once when the creek was up and the water was across the log, Mama almost drowned trying to get to work. A few years later, Mama decided to learn to drive, and we three older kids learned right along with her. And she's got in parentheses, I was 15. Driving frightened Mama, and it did, but she did it anyway when she had to. Mama taught us that we sometimes have to do things in spite of our fears. She sat with all six of us and helped us with our homework. Once, when in fifth grade, I woke in the wee hours of the morning remembering that I had forgotten to do my arithmetic. Mama sat with me patiently without scolding, her resolve to stay until completion so impressed me that I never forgot my homework again. And 43 years later, I finally got my master's degree. Some of Mama's last words to me, "Daughter, I'm so proud of you." Mama taught us the importance of education. In 1984, seeking to go back to work as a government employee after a 5.5 year break in service, I interviewed for a GS-2 clerk typist position and was not chosen. I was so discouraged because I had left the government as a GS-7. With deflated ego, I called Mama to talk to her about it. She reassured me that something would come along, just have faith in God that something just as good would come. A week later, I was interviewed for a GS-3 clerk typist job, still a demotion in my eyes, and was accepted. A year later, I was a GS-5. In 8 years, I was GS-11, far beyond my earlier expectations. Mama said, "See, it turned out all right." Mama taught us to have faith that God will work things out. I don't know how much time I've got to do that. Just this one from Robert. So after this, he was saying, I was musing, lounging back and just musing yesterday. How many of you remember the big catalog size business edition of Daddy's checkbook? Only a few of you, I think, because that was back when we still lived in Mount Pleasant and Daddy had his two businesses. I remember the time when both Daddy and Mama were going over the checkbook to balance and write checks from that book, well, most of them, anyway. Daddy would write a few every once in a while, but Mama's handwriting would be clear and readable. Mama was actually the true bookkeeper in her household, and Daddy, with his signature flourish, would sign them. And how Mama would help all of us with our school math and algebra problems and homework. She was a real whiz with math. And then Brenda's response to that. Sorry. Thanks for the memories, Robert. Mount Pleasant was before my time. I do remember Mama being very good in math. I could never understand that no matter how complicated the reading problems in algebra were, they were never too hard for Mama to figure out the answer. In fact, she seemed to get the answer very quickly, much to my amazement. She also was very good in knowing how to look at a crochet pattern or quilt pattern and know just how to make it or design and cut out the quilt pieces just by looking at a picture. Mama did not seem to care about her outward appearance and whether she was looking her best. Her inward person came through in shining colors, though. She could look very well when dressing for a special occasion. She was always modest, and I don't think I ever saw her wear a pair of pants. Instead, she wore dresses or skirts both at home and outside the home. Her love of people was genuine, and she made friends easily. I don't remember my mother being a person to complain very much. She was a very hard worker and did the best possible when doing a job for someone else. I think my work ethic was learned from my parents, and they both appreciated quality work. However, I appreciate my mom not criticizing if my work was not always perfect. Her qualities as a person mirror the image portrayed in the fruit of the Spirit. My mother gave up her life for her husband and children. She always put us first and herself last. And then she ends with saying, my memories of Mama were of a mother that was always there for me when I needed her. I also knew that if I needed someone to pray with me, she would never hesitate, and in faith she expected God to always be faithful. My memories of Mama are always good ones, and I'm thankful I was blessed to have her as my mom. And then I want to end with this. I found this on the 10 qualities of a good mother. Number one, a mom will always be there for her children, even when they're grown. Two, a mom thinks about her children long after they have, quote, flown the nest. Three, a mom supports her children's dreams even when they seem impossible. Four, a mom loves her children in a way they will never understand until they have their own. And I guess, as many of you know, that's always true. As we're young, we don't, you know, we see things from our perspective. But it's as we grow and go through the things that our moms have gone through that we really begin to understand a little bit more and appreciate more what they were as a mom. Just maybe as a little aside, I need to get finished. But I appreciate far more now than I did at 22 when I left home to come to Canada and was 12 hours, actually 15 hours at that point from my mom. How difficult it must have been for her to be so far away now that I have two boys who did the reverse. They're in Tennessee, and I'm here, and a granddaughter there. how difficult it is not to be able to see them and talk to them all the time. So I do appreciate that more than ever now. 5, a mom will defend her children against the world. 6, a mom will take a bullet, catch a hand grenade, step in front of a train, and ask God to take her instead of her child. 7, a mom will always go the extra mile when it comes to her children, cupcakes for the baseball team, or helping build a birdhouse. 8, a mom will fix scraped knees, kiss away tears, and try to mend broken hearts. 9, a mom will love her children even when they hurt and neglect her. 10, a mom will love her children to the moon and back and more. They love with an unconditional love, much like God does. We may not approve of what they do or who they see, but our love is constant. And just a little final comment on this. They love with an unconditional love, much like God does. Motherhood is a reflection of God. When it says that God created man, male and female, he created them. It wasn't just that fathers are a reflection of the Father's heart, but motherhood is that reflection of God. We have that from him. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And I wish many, many times that I had my mom here to talk to her about things in my life. God bless you.